Today's daf is daf chavav. We're holding right by the Halakha Mishnah on top. Nechasim sheyesh lamachrayut nigdein bekesef ubishtar bechazaka. Generally speaking, we're mavdil between metaltelin and karkaot by calling karkaot nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut, because the only thing that a person could be somech on to collect, no matter what, if he is owed money by someone, has lent money to someone, whatever the case may be, are real estate, because even if the real estate changes hands between the time that he needs to collect his lien and the time that he made the loan or whatever deal it was, he still is able to collect, and therefore he views it as achrayut. It's a guarantee. It's something he can rely on. So therefore, and that's reflected in the English word, real estate, as opposed to chattel. So but we understand that this is something that I can rely on. That's sheish lam achrayut. Niknin, so those things that have achrayut, I can buy, that means property, can be bought b'kesev, b'shtar, b'chazakah. Over here the chazakah is a reference to the type of chazakah that actually creates the kinyan, not a chazakah that gives you presumptive possession. So chazakah over here means that you change the locks on the house, or that you put up a fence around the field, or even that you take a trip around the edges of the field in order to see precisely where the property is. Something that expresses ownership. She'in lehem achrayut, whereas mitaltelim, chattel, are nikdin only, and are nikdin ela b'mishicha, only by drawing them towards you. Now, Lamais Rishonim point out that mishicha includes hagba'ah and misirah and so on. These are all types of bringing them to yourself. Nechasim she'in lehem achrayut. Another tremendous chiddush is that you could be kone metaltelin together with niknin im nechasim she'yesh lehem achrayut. So that even though normally you wouldn't be able to be kone metaltelin, let's say bekesef, b'shtar, or b'chazakah, but in a case where you're buying a field, and together with the field you want to buy a microwave oven, you can be kinyan the microwave oven along agav, along with the field. This is called kinyan agav. Later on, the Gemara is going to wonder whether that means that it's actually in the field, or that means that it's just being transferred at the same time, which we'll talk about in the Gemara. But this is a new kinyan called kinyan agav. And another thing that happens when you're dealing both with metaltelin and with karkaot is that even though normally when you have an altercation where there's a hodah b'miktas, which would be machai of you a shvua. So let's say somebody says, you owe me this field, and you said, oh, I owe you half of this field. So you would think that's included in modeh b'miktas, right? But it's not. Because the Torah says that we're not nishboin ala karkaot. So when it comes to karka, there's no din of shvua. But suppose along with the karka, there were also issues of metaltelin. So in that case, in the opposite direction, the metaltelin will make you agav, although we don't use the word agav in this sense, we call it gilgul, gilgul shvua, will make you swear because you're already swearing on the metaltelin, the megalgel the shvua also on the karkaot. So that means there's a sort of reciprocal relationship where you're dealing both with karka and metaltelin all at one time. Lishava aleihen, to make you swear on them even though you normally wouldn't have had to swear under the circumstances. Ask the Gemara b'kesef minolam. What's your first response? Gicha mistay Ephraim, no? I mean, that was the way we learned out kesef at the beginning of the Masechta for a woman. For some reason now, the Gemara doesn't look to stay Ephraim. Thank you very much. Doesn't look to stay Ephraim and brings another pasuk. Why doesn't it look to stay Ephraim? Says Tosis, because even though we know kicha mistay Ephraim, that's because kicha is there in the pasuk to define how to be kain anisha. But to prove that stay Ephraim could be nikna bekesef might be true because all kinyanim from goyim are bekesef. And therefore we don't know that that's the way to be, because like we said earlier in the Masechta, shekol kinyanam bekesef. But how do you know that the mode of kinyan, the chotzim sheish lam achrayot karkaot is that way between Jews? So for that I need a pasuk. And where is the pasuk? Omar Chizkia, who else Omar Chizkia, Omar Kro, where else but Sadot Pakesev Yiknu, V'chasov Basefer, V'chasom, V'edeidim. Now this is talking about over here, the Nevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that ultimately people will be back in Eretz Yisrael buying and selling property, and right now it looks to you hopeless, so you want to just leave everything. No, it's not hopeless. make sure that you buy and you sell because there's going to be money to be made here. That means in 70 years, people will come back. And it says, Beferish Bakesef, you know, there's Uriah. Says the Gemara, but how could that be the Uriah? If the Torah goes on to say, V'chatov Basefer V'chatom. So isn't that saying that maybe you need a shtar also, no? V'chatov Basefer means write it in a book. So ima adik a shtar. Tichtiv V'chatov Basefer V'chatom. Says the Gemara, no. Iktiv yiknu lebesof kidka amen. If it would have said, Sodot Bakesef, so then I would say the Kenyan is going back on both of those things. Over here the Torah says clearly Sadot Bakesev Yiknu, period. The Kenyan is with the Kesev. Why then write it in the Shtar? Because that was the point that he's making to Yirmiyahu. You're going to need, it's going to take 70 years, you're going to need good documentation. So make sure you have documentation for the sale. But the Shtar is only documentation, it's only a riot. So had it said Yiknu at the end, you would have been right. It's clear that the Kesev is the Yiknu, and then the Shtar is the documentation, is the Raya B'Alma that you're going to be able to prove, to use to prove that you actually had bought this field. On my Rav, where do we say that you could be Kona in this fashion? That's Dafke B'Mokam She'in Kotvim Et Hashtar. That's only in a location where they don't usually insist on having documentation on a field. So it's people who give over money, and that's the Kenyan. Places where people expect that they're going to have a contract, there the contract becomes part of the smichus das of the Kenyan. So that a person, until he gets his contract, did not believe that he was Kenyan. And since Kenyan is a question of my complete acceptance of the interrelationship over here of the transfer, that's what it is. It's a formalized way of showing that this is done. If I don't believe it's done, it isn't done. So without smichut dat, there can't be kinyan. Therefore, depending on the location, it could be that kesef is never a kinyan when it comes to real estate. Because who's going to give money and believe now that it's theirs? So therefore, if it comes now, the seller wants to have charata, he can have charata. You weren't really, you wouldn't think you were Kona. I changed my mind. I don't want to write out the contract. I'll give you your money back. So over there, Enochinami, it would not be a Kenyan at all. This is how Rashi learns. Abu B'makom Shekotvim Et Hashtar, if it's a place where they always write a contract, then you're not Kona just with the Kesef. But E Parish, Parish. If you say Beferish, I insist that the Shtar is the Kenyan, or I insist that the Kenyan, this is what I want the Kenyan to be, and this is what they agree upon. There's nothing wrong with the actual Kenyan taking effect the way it does with your item. Ki other Ravidi Barovin, actually Ravidi Barovin was pretty smart about these things. Knowing that the buyer basically, you know, is not a bookie inside and outside. So what he would do is he would say, look, the seller rather, he would say, Kizavinara Omar Ibina Bakaspi, Ibina Bishtori Ikni. He would say, you know, I'm going to decide later how I want this to be. You know, you're going to write out a contract. I haven't made up my mind yet whether the Kenyan should be the act of Kesev or the Kenyan should be the contract. And again, of course, this puts him in a very favorable position. Because if Lamaisa, he wants to make sure that he has the Kenyan, he can always say, I had in mind that the money should be the Kenyan. But I thought I could change my mind until I wrote the contract. No, I told you I might want the money to be the Kenyan. On the other hand, if he wanted to change his mind, so he would say, I changed my mind. I'm going to go, what do you mean? But you already paid. Yeah, but I told you I might be waiting till the Shtar. So this way he gets his cake and eats it too, right?
All of this is between only Jews or
Jews. We'll talk later, yeah. So Ibn Bakaspa Ikna, so when he says it that way, if I want to, the Kesser should be the Kenyan, meaning what? The Ibn Itu, the Mahadir, if you want to change your mind, sorry buddy, it's too late. Lo Matzit Adritu, you can't change your mind. Then when he says, and if I want, the Shtar should be the Kenyan, Ibn Bishtara Ikna, that means the Ibn, if I want the Mahadir, I could change my mind, because I could say I wasn't Kenyan until I got the Shtar. So I want to keep my options open, and if the seller would agree to that, so he's in a good position. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that you could be kena real estate with a contract, alone, without transferring money. Minol. Is it because in that same pasuk with Yirmiyahu it says v'chatov b'sefer v'chatom v'ha'ed edim? I thought you just analyzed that pasuk and you said that the shtar in that pasuk was only documentation and wasn't the mode of making the kinyan of the actual transfer. V'amrit shtar raya b'alma. That shtar wasn't really the thing. You're right. It's from Yehoch. It's from a different pasuk. It's from the pasuk ve'ekach et sefer ha-mikneh. What's the pshat sefer ha-mikneh? Sefer is a sefer kritut. That means the sefer is what is correct. Here too, sefer ha-mikneh. The sefer is what achieves the kinyan. This is not referring, by the way, even though it's near me, oh, it's not referring to the same pasuk that was talking about what will be in the future. This was the kinyan that he makes now from Chananel. Omar Shmuel, all of this is only true, lo shana l'bishtar matana. This is if you're giving a gift, so there is not going to be a transference of funds. So then, the contract is the gifting. About the mecher lo kona achitein damim. But when it comes now to a sale, unless you give the money, then it's not going to be a good kinyan. Because there, clearly the guy is not ready to really give over the field with the contract if he hasn't seen the cash. So he's not saying that clear for me. How can you say that? It says that Bishtar Ketzad, how do we know that you could be, how would you go about being kind of Bishtar? Katavlo ala niyar ala acheres, alfa bishayin bem shava pruta. Classic wording of the Mishnah, right, that we had earlier. You write it on something that has no intrinsic value. There we talked about Kedushin. Here we're talking about a Soda. Sadi Mechuralacha. My field is sold to you. Or Sadi Netunalacha. My field is bequeathed to you, given to you. Harezu Mechurava Netunah. Now here clearly it says both a sale and a gift. So how are you telling me it's only if it's a gift? It says Beferish, a sale or a gift. He asked the question, Humotiv la Memefarek, he came up with the answer himself. Obviously, there are cases where a sale is going to be just as much as a gift. For instance, if you've got a piece of property you're dying to get rid of, and you haven't been able to find a buyer, you finally got some sucker who's ready to buy it, believe me, you're very happy to write the shtar, and then go after him for the money. So in that case, the shtar definitely you had in mind. It's talking about mocher sadeh mipnei ra'ata. He's got a horrible piece of property that he wants to get rid of. There we understand that. Of course, he's very happy that he has a buyer. He means to give it over 100% with the shtar. Rav Ashi Amar, b'matana b'kesh litnala. The case is actually that when it says that Mishnah, it's talking about giving a matana. It's not either or, the way you understood it. You write either my soda is given to you, or you write my soda is sold to you, as the case may be. No, it's not what it's referring to. It's referring to a guy who's trying to give a gift, exactly as Shmuel said. He writes, however, two separate contracts. One in which it's a gift, and one in which it's a sale. Why does he do that? Because lama katav lo lashon mecher, if there's not going to be any money, so why does he write money? Because kidei liyafot et kocho, he's trying to give the beneficiary the benefit. Meaning, if he would have written it as a matana, and then it turned out there was a lien on the piece of property, somebody comes and says, "Well, very happy he gave you a matana, but you see, there's a slight problem. He doesn't really own it because I have a lien on it, so." You know, you can thank him for the attempt, but bye. So he wants to make sure, this gifter wants to make sure that the person to whom he gave the gift, he will have now a claim against the gifter's estate, and say, excuse me, this property I purchased for $2 million, I want my $2 million back. So even though he hadn't paid any money for it, the gifter wanted him to have a contract that would enable him to collect the value of the gift in the event that somebody else actually walked away with it with a pre-existing lien. Furthermore, he wanted it to be also a gift rather than a sale, because there are advantages in a gift. Number of advantages. The most serious advantage is legabe the din of bar mitzvah. So that there you don't have a claim that somebody can claim, I'm the one that was right next door, and therefore I had the right of first refusal. So normally you cannot sell a field that is next to a neighbor if that neighbor wants to buy it. If he can match the price, he could say, you had no right to sell it to somebody else. To me, it's worth much more because now I can expand my field and I get the savings of the cost of having a larger area. So the Rabbana made a takana called a bar mitzvah. But if you want to give a gift, I mean, he can't say, you should have sold it. I'm not selling you. I'm not interested in selling it. I want to make a gift to somebody. Excuse me, you have a problem with that. So there's no right for a bar mitzvah. So you want to give this person both possibilities. So if this guy sees that he's about to be sued by the neighbor, he pulls out his gifting contract, says, this was a gift. You have not a leg to stand on. If somebody comes along with a lien on the property to take it away, he pulls out his sale, goes to the estate, and says, you owe me money, because I bought this from your father. So this way, he was miyape et kocho. He gave him the best of both worlds. The reality makes no difference. Right? Makes no difference, because what counts is the definition of the contract.
So, but, somebody having a lien on it, on the field.
Yeah.
Right? And you bought it later, then the other one had the lien before him, so he can...
He can take it. And he will take it.
Yeah.
But you can go back to the guy's estate and get your money.
From who?
The guy who gave it to you.
Yeah.
He has other money that he left his heirs.
Yeah. So you can get...
He wants to make sure that you get to keep this come hell or high water. That's what he wants. So therefore, he writes it this way so that you can come with a tvi'ah against his estate. Which is great. There's another advantage. The other advantage is when you sell, you don't sell oil rights. But when you gift oil rights.
The oil rights? It's under
the yeah.
Everything that under.
Right.
It's not belonging to the government.
Right. So, I mean, of course, the Gemara doesn't discuss oil rights because it wasn't worth very much in those days, but it discusses, say, cisterns, water cisterns, and so on and so forth. Those structures are not part of a sale, but they are part of a gift because you want to give things away. So there you're giving the ayin yafah.
But is this, what the guy's doing, he's selling it.
Move.
If you would undermine the
Enochinami. Enochinami. He has to present one or the other. This guy has to present either this guy, depending on the circumstances.
Say that the court finds that he's got both.
No. He can taina that this is the mode by which he took the field. So he presents one or the other. Let's talk about that outside of our, because it's not really the main point of this stuff, right? Okay, b'chazaka. Minolan. So how do we know chazaka? And of course, Chizkiah talks all about chazaka. Omar Chizkiah, the way to get chazaka, we have the posik, ushvu ba'orechem asher tefasten. So over there, we're talking about at the time of the, right after the Korban, where the soldiers of Babel had taken everything away, but the Nebuchadnezzar had now given rights to the Gedaliah to define how things were going to be. So he told the few people that were left that you are householding. So any property that you just took over, keep it. There's nobody around. Keep the property. So you see that in whatever city you were to face, that means just you took it. Actually became law, I don't know, here in South Africa, in the U.S., that was called homesteading. You could go along and you could just take a piece of property, and if you worked it, they based it on the Gemara for 3 years, which is they confused the two dinim of chazaka, obviously, but if you worked it for 3 years and it produced, then it became yours. So here it says, "Hari Masher Tafastem." So becomes so Bema Tafastem. Here it's 50.
Woo.
Okay. So Bema Tafastem, What is that tfisa? Shvu barechem. It's the actual acting out the ownership that gives you the tfisa that it should be yours. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, it's a posik in the Torah. What do you have to run over here to take a look at Yirmiyahu? It says, Ki atem ovrim et hayarden, to what? Lavola reshet et haaretz v'yirishtem ota v'yishavtem ba. What's the yirishtem v'yishavtem? That's what it's saying. B'mayirishtem, what is it that gave you the possession, the ownership? With the yeshiva itself, with the acting out of the ownership. How do we know that? And here's the essential word, okano miyad amitecha. So this miyad means actually pass it from hand to hand. It has to be miyad. So it's telling me dover hanikne miyad liyad, and that's mishicha. Now there may be other ways of doing mishicha, but that's the essential thing. I'm actually transferring, since it's chattel, I'm transferring it into your hand. I can give you over the reins and transfer the hand. You can pull it literally, which would be Mashiach. You can make it go up, but all of that is a transfer from hand to hand. So we saw earlier, the big machlokas, according to Rabbi Yochanan, money is kaina metaltalin as well. The only reason that we say that you must do mishicha is because if you don't have a physical transference, then the seller has no incentive to save your money in the event of a fire in the warehouse. Right? So I'm happy, you bought it, you gave me the money, thank you very much. I should bother locking the door. I should bother calling the fire department. So in other words, we made a takona, no siree, until delivery. Until he actually takes delivery, you're responsible. Okay, but that has nothing to do with the posik. I mean, why? How does he understand that Mishnah saying, claiming that you need the Mishicha? No, he understands it in Achinami. The Mishnah is Tana Takanta de Rabbanan Katami. That the Rabbanan were Mitake and you can only do Mishicha. There is no source for it. So he's saying that the Tana, don't confuse us. The Tana is not coming to tell me the Iker Hadin, when you're right. Nechasim she'in lehem achrayut are able to be nikne together with Kinyan Agav, together with the field. You know what I mean? Where do you get that idea from? Omar chizkid yomar krova yitain lehem aviyem matanot. So over there, we have Yehoshaphat is giving to his children his riches before he dies. And he gives them over Arim Mitzurot B'Yehuda. Gives them over the ownership of estates in Yehuda. And it says that he also gave them gifts Im Arim Mitzurot B'Yehuda. What do you mean Im? You could say Ve. You're saying Im. So then he's saying that the meaning of the Kinyan on the Matanot is when they were Kona, the Arim Mitzurot, by acting like an owner, changing a lock or whatever. They also became the owners of the matat. Iboilu, be'inan tzivurim olo. Do we need for the matat to actually be on the place that you were kona agav? Or would they be nikna anywhere in the world where they are because of the fact that you're making the kinyan? Now, of course, your first response is that's ridiculous. If they need to be on the place, so then you're kena with a kinyan of chatzar. What do you need agav for? The agav doesn't add anything. Of course, if something is in my property, it's in my property. What's the chiddush? So the simple explanation is that the only time that your chatzar is kena is if it's a chatzar on mishtameret. There needs to be somebody there watching, or needs to have a gate. But if it's just a wide open area, it won't be a kinyan chatzar. Correct? Okay, so then if I have a kinyan agav, I don't need for it to be mishtameret. It has nothing to do with Kotzer at all. It has to do with the act of the Chazaka or whatever it is on the property. So that's one simple difference. There are other differences, such as that the din of Chotzer, according to some, is only where you are the owner of the Chotzer and then the thing comes into the Chotzer. But if you're trying to be kind of something by being kind of the Chotzer when the thing is already there, so then there was no act, if it's being transferred into your rishus, then it's not a kinyan. That's a big machlokas. But over here, agav, obviously that wouldn't be the issue. Be kona both simultaneously. It was a kinyan agav. So that's my question. Do I need them to actually be in the piece of property of the real estate? So I'm saying I'm giving you, I want you to also buy my microwave oven. Does the microwave oven have to be on the field? Or wherever the microwave oven is, it becomes mine. Omer of Yosef Tashma. I'll bring you a raya. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Karka, Kol Shehu. The tiniest bit of property is nonetheless chayevet b'pe'ah u'b'bikurim. If it produces, you're going to have to take off first fruits. You're going to have to take off the corner, even if it's just, say, it's one stalk. I mean, what am I? It doesn't matter. It's got five seeds in it. One of them is for the aniyah. And you could use a tiny piece of property to write a prusbo. For the takona of Ezra, remember, is only on something that is a dover hamatsui. Al takanot rabbanan. Since the norm is when people make loans, they make it to an individual who owns property so that they can collect the loan. There was no takona of being able to collect your loan after Shemitah by having a prusbo unless that person owned property. Because otherwise, nobody would have lent the money anyway. So therefore, if the amount of property that he owned was worth 1 cent, and it was this tiny piece of property, but that's enough, because we didn't start making a nafkamina in the takana. Well, if you own property of X, whatever, you're a property owner, that's fine. So you can write a prusbul on that person. Veliknot imane fasi, whoa, wow. And you can use a property worth 1 cent, kebikene nechasim she'en lemachrayut. Now, I mean, obviously, if you're going to tell me that I have to actually put what I'm being kena on the piece of property, I understand, I have a 1 square centimeter worth of property. How can I put my microwave oven on 1 square centimeter? That it should be nikna. I mean, it's bottle. So clearly, what use is a tiny piece of property that isn't big enough to put anything on it? Tergamur Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna Kamei, the Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna said, why not? Why can't you put a needle into one square millimeter? So now if you want to be kena that needle, there you go, it's a good kinyan. Amalei Rav Yosef, oh God, you are making me sick. Kabastan. I mean, I'm just nauseous. It's a ridiculous kind of answer. Come on, ichbo tanalash bino machat kamafet. What, Rabbi Akiva is sitting there talking about a crazy case where a guy wants to grant? I don't believe it. Omravashi, really? You don't believe it? Did you look at the top of the needle and notice the little diamond pin? Huh? So it was a 200,000 rand needle, and you're saying, oh, what's the importance of it? Kind is that? It makes you sick. It's very reasonable. So maybe he's got a diamond on it? Take a better look at your wife's ears. You'll find out how much a machat can be worth. Tashma, Amar Rabbi Elazar. There was a guy from the town of Madon. Shayavi Yerushalayim. This guy was visiting in Yerushalayim. Shayulo mitaltalin harbei. He had a lot of property. Ubikeshli tnaim b'matanan. He wanted to give his property, which was not there, as a gift. Omar lo, amrulo. So yes, how can I do that? So they told him, ein lo takanat shiknem al gabe karka. Look, the only way that you can, from a distance, manage this, because you can't give over the property without some act of mashicha, you know, how, mesira, how are you going to give it away? So the only thing you can do is if you transfer a piece of property, then you can give them all of your metatolim with a kinyan agav. Fine. So Maasa, what did he do? Halach v'lakach beit sela samuch l'Yerushalayim. He went and he bought a 1 rand's worth of property next to Yerushalayim, where some say a place the size of a selah coin. Tiny piece of property. You know, it didn't cost him any money. In some middle of nowhere, right? Useless piece of property. In order to be able to transfer the property, agav, that piece of property, the betatalim, and he said, okay, now here's how I'm going to give it away. Okay, the northern part goes to Mr. X, and I'm writing out a contract to Mr. X. Here it is. He now owns that, together with 100 sheep, 100 barrels, and so on and so forth. He writes this contract out. The contract is useless for Betaltalim, but he made it an agav, saying, agav, that little tiny piece of land that you were going to get, one square centimeter, you were also going to get 100 sheep and so on, right? And then he dies. V'kimbu edvarav, and they said that's a perfectly good kinyan, and the guy owns the 100 sheep and so on. V'yamad bin etzivurim, if you're going to tell me the only way that it works is if it's actually in the property, I come off it, man. So Beit Sela, Lamai Chazi, how could he possibly put 100 sheep and barrels of wine into a Beit Sela? So clearly, there's no need for it to actually be there. It's just the formalization of the transfer. No, says the Gemara, you misunderstood. When me savored Beit Sela, Sela, what did you think? That it meant that it was a Beit Sela, the size of a Sela, worth a Sela, the shape of a rock, it was a Sela, a place of a, that's not what it means. My Sela, the Nafish Tuva, was a giant parking lot. The reason that they called it a Sela was because it was just concrete. It's kosher kesela. So in other words, he didn't buy a productive piece of land. He bought a piece of junk land. That's all that it's saying. Didn't cost him a lot of money. The only use it could possibly have was a parking lot, but it's in the middle of nowhere. So it says it was outside of Yerushalayim. So the parking lot outside of Yerushalayim is not particularly valuable, at least in those days. And because of that, I mean, we Baruch Hashem Rezeicha to the Nevi'ahs of Yirmiyot to becoming true. Guess if somebody would have bought that parking lot, if he would have held on to the parking lot, it would be in good shape. His great-grandchildren would be multi-billionaires. Okay, but anyway, so it means that he had a big parking lot in which he put all of this stuff, 100 son and so on. Maybe it had to actually be there. Could be. So from there, you don't have a riot. Toshma di'abar Rabbi Yehuda Amarab, ma'aseh ba'adam echad shechala b'Yerushalayim. There was a guy who got sick in Yerushalayim. Not to say that he was sick is only going according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because, I mean, over there, when you say that he was sick, it's not going to help, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to be sick. Normally, we say that if somebody's a shechiv mirah, he's ill. He doesn't need kinyanim. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, he does. Except on Shabbos. So it's because he said that what the whole purpose of making the takana that a shechiv mirah could transfer property without any formal acquisition was because we're worried about his state of mind. So Rebbe Eliezer, what do you mean his state of mind? So we'll write a contract. And I said, what's the problem? What's the big deal? How often will it be that his state of mind will be so badly affected that he's going to have to wait 5 minutes? And if he's in that shape, believe me, he's dead anyway. So forget about it. So if it's Shabbos, I understand. We're telling you have to wait till tomorrow. There he may really get agitated. But if it's not Shabbos, it's not a problem. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, could be talking about even if he's sick, or according to Rabbanan, who says that a person who is sick actually could have transferred property without making a kinyan at all, the case over here would have to be that he was not sick and he was a bari. So Rabbanan, he was a bari. But whatever the case was, it's not what's important to us is that he had a lot of metatling. Ubikeshli today b'matanai. He also wanted to hand it over, and they said Amrulo enlo takanach yikdem agavi karka. The only thing he could do is transfer with a kinyan agav. So ma'asah halach v'lakach beit rov ha'samach l'Yerushalayim. So he bought this tiny little quarter's worth of property, and he said, okay, one tefach square goes to so-and-so, together with 100 sheep and 100 barrels, and then he died. And the Chachamim said, that's okay. Now, you obviously, in this case, it says beferish one tefach square. Now, you can't put 100 sheep in one tefach square. So that's Uriah. Clearly, it does not have to be on it. So, Yamrit bin and Tzvurim, tefach a tefach, l'may chazi, how can you put it onto one tefach on a tefach? No, says